Today we're going to read from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. It's being taken from the NIV, and it proceeds as follows. The resurrection of Christ. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
You know, I love all those songs. I love it when the kids sing. And didn't they do a good job? Yeah. Good job, kids. And that last song I love all those songs, but that last one, if you didn't recognize it, maybe it's a tribute to Andre Crouch. That was an Andre Crouch song. Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's so true. You know, that's really what this Easter Sunday is all about, a Resurrection Sunday, as some prefer to call it. It's not just a day when we dress up and look nice, which is always good, right? It's a good day to get together with family and eat special meals, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that at all, right? That's what we need to do. Family is important. God tells us that family is important. But we need to remember that the reason we keep this day was over 2,000 years ago, someone named Jesus of Nazareth came out of a grave. He actually came out of the grave. And today I want to talk to you about that because that is important to everybody that has a hope as a Christian, that one day they will have eternal life. Of course, it starts in several of the Gospels talk about Jesus' resurrection. One of them is Matthew 28, where it says in verse 1, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. Now, you have to realize that the earthquake was not in order to roll the stone away. The earthquake was just to demonstrate the fact that God had done something spectacular. You know, oftentimes earthquakes occurred and do occur even today when God is doing something exceptional. And that's what he was doing in this case. So he was drawing attention to the fact that Jesus is resurrected by the earthquake. It wasn't the earthquake that moved the stone. The angel came down and moved the stone, right? So he says his face, that is the angel, shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. I think I would too, wouldn't you? I think we can understand why they might do that. And then the angel spoke to the women, and they said, do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said he would happen. Come and see where his body used to be lying. And so what happened then on this morning, way back in history, is that Jesus rose. He is risen. Now, you may not realize, if you don't stop to think about it, how important that is. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead is very important to the plan of salvation. In fact, Paul explains it to the churches when he writes his letter to the church in Corinth, which was one of those churches along a mail route, and it was easy because a lot of people came in and out, and oftentimes the churches sprang up in these mail routes, Roman mail routes, because the Romans, of course, had great roads and great transportation, and people were able to get to and from church and to travel. Made it easy for Paul to service the churches. And so he writes to this church, which is located in a city called Corinth. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that was preached unto you." So he has preached the gospel to them, which you received, you took it, and on which you have taken your stand. So they actually believed the gospel that was preached to them. "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, if you don't, you have believed in vain." So belief in the gospel leads to salvation. That's very important to remember. Belief in the gospel, real belief in the gospel, leads to salvation, eternal life, which leads to eternal life. Even as the word of God said, those who believe shall be saved. Everyone who believes shall be saved. Remember that? So this is the gospel. And this gospel involves the message about Jesus and what he did for us. And what we are to do in response to him. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. The very most important thing. That Christ died for our sins. So, this is the beginning of the gospel. This is like the core of the gospel. He says, I received and I passed on to you of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And you will notice that the scriptures talked about all the things that Jesus was to do. And when you go back and if you go back and read the Gospels in that light, you'll find that over and over Jesus talks about the things that he was doing in light of the fact that it was prophesied about him to do certain things. So he has like this unbelievable checklist of things that he has to do while he's on earth. And he wasn't on earth that long. And he achieves all of those things because the Father and the Holy Spirit lead him through those things. That he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. All this is very important. It had to be according to the scriptures. So Jesus had to die for our sins to be wiped out. He also had to go into the grave for our sins to be wiped out. And he had to rise from the dead in order for us to have salvation. See, a lot of times, again, I've said this before, we think of salvation as just Jesus being on the cross. Just boom, Jesus is on the cross. It doesn't work that way. There's a lot in the process. First, he had to come. He comes as a human being, just like you and me. And then he lives a perfect life. If he comes as a human being and doesn't live a perfect life, all bets are off. All right? Then he has to suffer and die. And then he has to be buried. He has to be in there 3 days. And then he has to be raised from the dead. All this has to happen. He has to return to the Father to become our high priest. If these things don't happen, we don't have salvation. So salvation is a process. All these pieces have to fit together. And if he doesn't rise, we don't rise. And that's the point I'm coming to. And he appeared to Cephas, who was Peter, and then to the 12, after he's risen from the dead. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. And then most of whom are still living. You can go talk to them. We could have talked to them at the time of his writing. Not now, because they're dead now. All right, it happens to all of us eventually. Most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Some of them were dead even at that time of his writing. And then he appeared to James. Interesting. Because James was close to him. And then he appears to James. And then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as if I'm born out of season, out of turn, because he was not in the original apostles. So he talks about himself as if he's kind of like an add-on on the end. He's born out of season. Now, why is he bringing all this up? You ever wonder? Why is he listing all these people? And why is it important that he tell us in a letter that all these people saw Jesus? It is because God requires a witness. And in the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything can be established. Well, there are more than two or three witnesses listed here. And lastly, the guy who's writing to you, Paul, saw Jesus. And so this is important because these people are going to be called upon to do the unbelievable. So therefore, they had to know and they had to believe and know that the one that they were going to stand up for did everything that he said he was going to do and that he actually rose from the dead. Because they are called upon, and if you go back and study the life of the New Testament Christians, you'll find interesting how things repeat themselves. You know, Ecclesiastes talks about how things go in cycles and circles. People are being killed. How about the 150 that were just killed? How about the 110 who were killed? How about the numbers who had their heads cut off by ISIS? How about the people that you don't read about that are being burned every day and kicked out of their homes and their property taken? Women that are being raped, children that are being taken and abducted and put into slavery, all for the name of Jesus. And so these people knew what was coming. Persecution was coming. Hardship was coming. Fire and sword was coming. Martyrdom was coming. There would be many of them. These people were killed for the name of Jesus. So they had to believe and know what they believed. They had to know that Jesus was God and that he was resurrected and that he was alive. And this is why you have all these testimonies being given. Because Paul says, look, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most pitiful. Because he knew what they were going to go through and what they were going through. So he said, what kind of fools are we? If Jesus doesn't rise, and if we don't have a hope for a future, because our present is a pretty big mess. That's what he's saying. And so God calls upon these people to put aside, change their world, to change the way that they were living, to come out of their sins, the sins that their ancestors passed down to them. Because you know that's what happens. Our ancestors passed down a lot of good stuff, but they also passed down a lot of sins, which we often continue in. You know, so if Daddy was a Rolling Stone, we have a tendency to be a Rolling Stone too. If we don't watch it. You know, if Mama didn't take care of business at home, then we have a tendency not to take care of business at home. If, on the other hand, if Mama was a good example and was a businesswoman and took care of her household and was there for you, then you will have a tendency to do the same thing. If Daddy loved you and cared about you and provided for his family, you have a tendency to do the same things unless you learn something else and go another way. So we have to, a lot of times, fight against genetics, you know, and we have to fight against the things that we've seen, or else we will find ourselves doing the same things. And so Jesus came as an example of what we can expect. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, that means those who died have fallen asleep. It's nice we're seeing those that died. What does he mean, first fruits? A first fruit was the fruit that first came off of the vine or the tree. That's what a first fruit is. So if when he talks about Jesus as the first fruits of those who died, he's talking about also Jesus as the first one that was resurrected, right? Because he's resurrected. And he's saying that there are other, you know, when you plant tomatoes. Those first tomatoes that come off the vine are your first fruit tomatoes. You expect that other tomatoes are going to come off the vine when you get a first fruit tomato, right? I mean, you go and you pluck that tomato, you know, you take it and put it on your counter in your kitchen and you look at it, right? You say, look at that tomato. You brag about it to all your friends. If you're married, you tell your wife, see what I produced? Look at this tomato, right? Or look at this apple. It's the first fruits. But you expect more tomatoes. You don't simply expect one tomato to come off, right? So it is with Christ. He's the first fruits of those who slept. And because he is resurrected, God is fixing it so others may be resurrected. That's why he calls him a first fruit. He's a first fruit of those who slept. For since death came through a man, that's Adam, our first father, right? We all came from Adam and Eve. And death came through him. Why? Because he sinned. You go back and look at the Bible. Ladies, I'm not talking about you now. But it says Adam was not fooled. But how crazy is he? This must have been some kind of woman. Because he turned away from eternal life because she gave him the fruit. And he didn't want to be separated from her. He was more interested, he was more afraid of being separated from Eve than he was of being separated from God. I mean, I don't know how else to look at that. So, and well, that's a lesson for all of us, whether we're men or women, right? And we can't let other people separate us from God. We can't let other people lead us into things that are going to separate us from God and cause us to be in disfavor with God, because the best thing you could do in life, my brothers and sisters and kids, is to have God happy with you. Okay? That's the best world you can live in. It's when God is pleased with you. And that's whether you, you know, we all have problems, we're going to have problems. But God, do you know God can still be pleased with you even though you have problems? You can have problems. God's okay with that. He understands you're just human. But he wants you to have a heart that loves him and that wants to do what's right. And you're trying to do what's right. And as long as you have that kind of an attitude and a spirit, God's going to be okay with you. It's going to be all right. You know, because he's going to make it all right. He's going to take you through whatever you're going through. He's going to bring you out the other side in good shape. Amen? Amen? So this is why God sent Jesus in the flesh. He made a covenant with the man, Adam. But Adam and Eve broke that covenant and gave up eternal life that God wanted to give to them and to us. For as in Adam all die, because we all sin like Adam, so in Christ we'll all be made alive. So this is why Jesus came, so that we could be made alive. Amen? Amen. Book of 1 Thessalonians talks about this in beautiful language, and it's reassuring to all of us as Christians. Let's take a look at it. Book of 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 13. You can read the whole chapter when you do it in your own study. And Paul says to this church at Thessalonica, another one of those churches, he says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know what will happen to believers, those who believe." And that's what he's trying to encourage people to do, to believe, because he's talking to them about the fact that Jesus actually lived, he was a real man, he died, and yet he rose again from the dead, as the scripture says. "Who have died so that you will not grieve like people that have no hope." He doesn't want you to grieve as if you have no hope. "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." You know what he's saying? That's pretty powerful. He's saying that my dear mother that I lost, who was a real believer and taught me to believe, taught me to read the Bible, taught me what it meant to treat people right, and who would get, I would get my bottom would be pretty sore if I mistreated somebody and she found out about it, especially the ones that were the ones that everybody else picked on and were downtrodden and unfortunate, because some people struggle. If she found out that I was abusing anybody, especially some person that was considered to be a person that needed help, and I didn't help, and I was in trouble. He's saying, "We also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." So my dear mother, who died when I was 13, is saying that I will see her again. 13 was a long time ago, brothers and sisters. I have to go and look at a picture of my mother to remember what my mother looked like. Can you imagine that? I have to go and actually get a picture to remember what my mother looks like, because she died when I was 13. my dear grandmother that I lost when I was three, also a believer. My dear uncle who went into the war when he was 15 years old, Korea, recently died. My sister, who was a believer, who died in 2000. My brother-in-law, my wife's brother, who was like a brother to me, a real believing man, a good man. The day on which he died, he was out delivering turkeys to those that didn't have. He knew he was sick. He was out delivering turkeys to those that didn't have and died of a heart attack. You know, I get to see those people again. Says Jesus will bring them with him when he comes. Amen. I mean, that's encouragement to me. I hope it is for you. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. In other words, they come up first. This is the resurrection. Because like Jesus, they rise. Amen. Like Jesus, they rise. And so he will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And that's my dear mother. That's many of you who have relatives and friends that are now deceased. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel. And he will come down with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died shall rise from their graves. And then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet them in the air. It's beautiful, isn't it? Then we will be with the Lord forever. We shall be with the Lord forever. So all this ISIS stuff, all the shootings, all the abuse of people that don't have anybody to stand in for them, all the women that are abused by their mates and their boyfriends, all the men that can't get ahead because somebody's got their foot on their neck, all the abuses that take place in our world, wiped away. It's wiped away. It's wiped away. God comes. The Lord Jesus returns for us. Because he said he would, you know. And when he returns, if we're alive, we'll be caught up in the air. And if we are dead, like Jesus, we rise. We rise. And Jesus said this in John, it's recorded in John, the 14th chapter, starting in verse 1. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am." And that's a promise. God does not break his promises. So what does that leave us to do in this life then? We need to be like the first century Christians, who believed in God, and because they really believed in God, they stood firm in what they believed. They didn't let anything deter them, not even death. We may not be called upon to die here in this country, but whatever it is that we face, whether it's pulls against what we believe, which make us want to go and do what everybody else does, and we know it's wrong. Whether it's attacked by the devil himself, and he's always prowling around seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says. whether it's those people that keep us wanting to do, want us to always keep doing what they're doing because they want somebody else to help them do what's wrong, or whatever it is, we need to resist those things. Because the God that we worship has promised us greater things. Amen? Greater things. Like Jesus, we rise. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the example of Jesus Christ, your Son, who was the Word, who came to earth as a man, lived a perfect life, died, was buried, rose again from the dead, and is again seated at your right hand of authority in heaven. It is our high priest. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to believe, to have real and actual belief, faith, so that we may be saved, and so also, Lord, that we may have from you the strength that we need to face our trials and our temptations in this life. We know and believe and trust, Lord God, that what you have promised for us, the Bible says that eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't really ever heard it or understood it. It is so unbelievably good that it is worth dedication to you. It is worth going against those passions that we have that make us want to do those things that displease you. It is worth standing up for your name. It is worth our devotion. So we pray that you will help us to be devoted to you, to live a life that pleases you, so that we may inherit eternal life, along with all those who have believed and will believe. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.